Welcome, welcome, welcome to Igniting You, the podcast that explores the beauty of faith, the wisdom of scripture, and the transformative power of testimony. I'm your host, Adrian, and if this is your first time tuning in, thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you've been with us before, welcome back and welcome home. So today's episode is a special one. This is the episode where I lived the day that I died. Yeah, you heard that right. I died. Ish. I was never pronounced dead, but my heart stopped 3 times and I was on life support. So the way I see it, yeah, I died. Now, this episode isn't just about me dying. It's about everything leading up to that point and how faith in God really got me and my family through that difficult time. As always, I want to open us up with scripture. And so today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. And I'm rereading from the Amplified Bible. For our momentary light distress, this passing trouble, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, a fullness beyond all measure, surpassing all comparisons, a transcendent splendor, and an endless blessedness. So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting, but the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. Man, that is such a powerful scripture. So like I said before, this episode is really, really special to me. It marks a pivotal moment in my life, in my faith, in my family's faith, and it really just shows the power of holding on to promises and really holding on to the blessings of God. So I want to take you back to October 9th of 2018. Now, I don't know what you were doing that day, but for us, my family, it was a normal day. Normal day, and going to work, both of us going to work. We didn't have children yet or anything like that. And so we were just living. But it started off kind of interesting. We taking pictures, just randomly kind of taking pictures different places. And so we end the day and then we go to sleep. And the crazy thing is that both my wife and I woke up, that next morning on October 10th, feeling very uneasy. We had some kind of uneasy, bad dreams that we had that night. And so, like we typically do, we prayed about it, because it was like, look, something didn't feel right, and we wanted to make sure that we were covered, right? And so we prayed together for it, that everything would be okay. But honestly, we didn't know what was going to happen for that day. Now, many of you know, I teach high school, and actually I teach, in the high school we have, sometimes you'll have a ninth grade homeroom. And so for my school, the kind of cool thing we do to kind of get kids acclimated to high school and kind of get school spirit going and all that cool stuff is something that we call tribe. And, it's really just, again, kind of building school spirit, getting kids acclimated to high school, and just really like something fun for ninth graders to do. And so my ninth grade homeroom, we were super excited to play this thing called Battle of the Freshers. Kind of a tournament of different types of challenges and events and activities. And at the end, your homeroom might get the trophy, for being the best homeroom or the freshest, homeroom, right? And so my homeroom, we were competing in a tug of war tournament, right, against other homerooms. And I had a good feeling about our homeroom. We had a lot of athletes, like a lot of big guys and everything. And obviously I'm a relatively large person as well, not super big or whatever, but a little bit bigger than average. And so I didn't even know if I was going to be eligible to participate. But I knew, I let her day I know that, yeah, and they said that teachers can participate as well. So I was like, okay, cool. And so, we had our tournament and it was going. And, we were doing really good. I mean, there were some times where, we would literally not even break a sweat. They would call us down. We would compete against a team. And then literally 5 seconds later, we're done. Right. We just destroy them. And that's how it was going. You know, now, as we were playing, you know, this whole time, I didn't have any kind of indication that anything was wrong with me, right? And I didn't, you know, I was okay. Now, the last round that we had played, you know, I had a good feeling. You know, we were going up against the team and we had a good feeling we were going to win. And so, you know, they say go and start and we're tugging. And this one's hard, though. You know, that team that we were going against, you know, they were beating people, too. And, you know, we were tugging, and it was hard, you know, for a while. You know, what it felt like an eternity sometimes. You know, we were pretty much tied. Like, nobody was going anywhere. But slowly but surely, you know, the rope started leaning our way. And then we ultimately, you know, won that particular, you know, I guess you would call it the event or the round, I would say. But this last round, my heart could not take it. My heart could not take it anymore. And I fainted. You know, we won. I was like, yeah, you know, I won. We won. And but literally after that, you know, I felt very, very dizzy, lightheaded, and I fainted, right? And you know, this is, you know, kind of weird for me. I fainted before, but, you know, whatever. And I had no idea how long I was out. It didn't seem like it was that long. People said it wasn't that long, so it was cool. And, you know, so I got up with some assistance from other teachers around, and I just still didn't feel good. And so I went to this other, you know, area away from all the kids, all the students and everything. And I sat down, and they were kind of giving me some water to kind of relax and everything. But for some reason, my heart just kept on, like, speeding up, really. And it felt like I was still participating. It felt like I was running. You know, it felt like my body was, like, still running, like how your heart rate kind of increases when you're running fast and things like that, you know. And I had no idea what was going on. It was hard for me to really, like, slow my heart rate down because, you know, I was in a position where, you know, I was relaxed. I was, well, trying to relax anyway. I was sitting down, I had some water, you know, literally doing nothing. And my heart rate just kept on going up and cutting on going up. And eventually, it got to a point where, you know, my heart rate got up so far that I eventually fainted again. And my heart ended up going out. Now, for this time, you know, everything was blurry. You know, I don't know what's going on. Like, obviously, I'm passed out. So a lot of things I'm telling you guys, I had to hear from people that were there. But I went to, you know, they took me to the nurse, they called the ambulance, all that kind of stuff. And actually I later learned, that they weren't about to call the ambulance. People there at the school, you know, because, they didn't know really what was going on with me. But one person said, you know what, you know, let's be sure, you know, let's be cautious about this, call the ambulance. And so they called the ambulance and I got in the ambulance. And as I'm going to a hospital close by, my heart stops. My heart stops actually three times. And three times they had to use the paddles on me to bring me back. And now during this whole time now, again, my wife, you know, she's working for her employer at the time, and she had to kind of go outside. She had to, go away a little bit, not out of state, but a little further away, you know, maybe an hour and a half away or something like that, maybe 2 hours or so away. And she was, you know, she was packing and getting ready to go because she was going to be gone for like 2 nights in Northern Virginia. But she got a call from someone at the school saying, hey, you know, something's happened with Adrian, you know, you need to go to the hospital. And now, I don't know about you, but you never want to hear those words, like something's happened to your partner, your spouse, your child, whoever, and you need to go to the hospital. Like, that's very rarely a good thing. Maybe if somebody's having a baby, right? You know, that's the only time that you want to hear that and say, yeah, that's a good thing. Other than that, kind of a bad thing. So my wife got that call and, you know, for her, it was, you know, obviously a mixed bag of emotion because she didn't know what was going on. And so when she got to the hospital, right, she was escorted into this kind of the side room where the doctor who I guess, had been working on me or part of the team that had been working on me, the doctor pulled her to her side And he said, we're doing everything we can do, but I don't think he's going to make it. Now, I just want you to just stop right there. Imagine you have no idea what's going on with your husband, your wife, and a doctor comes in and tells you, we're doing everything that we can do, but you don't want to hear any buts right there. Like that's, you want to hear, we're doing everything that we can do and he's going to come out of it and he's going to be better and, you know, anything other than a but. But she heard, but I don't think he's going to make it. Now, to my wife's credit and to her faith in God and her belief in God, she completely rebuked that. She completely said, no, that's not going to happen. And because it was in part because we had gotten so many prophetic messages while we were in our wilderness season that hadn't come true yet, that she was like, well, no, like we haven't gotten this. We haven't done this. This hasn't happened. So there's absolutely no way that my husband is going to die. Now, I don't care what you're going to say. I don't care, you know, how much you don't think he's going to pull through. There's no way that he's just going to just die. Because we had so much. And we understood, and she understood in that moment, that even though the doctors were doing their thing and they said what they had to say, that her faith in God had the final word. And so for that, she completed, you know, rebuked the diagnosis and really began to pray in her spirit that God will take care of me, that everything will be okay, that, you know, no matter what people thought or no matter what people said or whatever, that I was going to be okay. Now, of course, you know, part of her flesh is like, look, you got to prepare for the worst, you know, because at this point, she still hadn't seen me, right? And she sees me and she's there. And obviously, I can't really comment too much on what I don't know, whatever, but just what she said. And, you know, she was just an amazing, amazing person in this moment to have the faith that she had. To completely just disregard what the diagnosis was. Because it wasn't even just that I may not make it. It was all kind of things. Like, well, you know, even if he does make it, you know, he may be paralyzed, right? It may be some neurological damage. He may be a vegetable, right? I mean, it was so many different things that could be going through her mind in the moment. And honestly, things that the doctors kind of prepared her for, probably because that's their job. But in all that, you know, she just had no, her faith was just unwavering in that moment because we held on, she held on to the messages, to the promises of God. And without those promises, I have no idea where she would be, how she would respond. But because God had promised her those things, she was able to not only, you know, rebuke that diagnosis, but she was also able to kind of gain strength and honestly be strong for other people in that moment as well. Because other people, you know, some of the people I work with or I knew, they came by and, you know, they were, you know, obviously, you know, worried. But she was able to be that strong person. And I'm certain some people thought in their minds, like, how in the world can she be this strong when her husband is basically on his deathbed? What's going on? Like, what's going on with her? And it was all faith. It was all her faith in God. And that's where we are. So lo and behold, you know, I do pull through. And I pull through completely better than most, if not all, the doctors believed that I would. Like many of them thought, honestly, that, you know, I was probably going to die or that I was going to have some kind of neurological damage or something, or even that, you know, I may have made it for today, but let's see how you are tomorrow or the next day or something like that. But I pulled through even better than all of them thought. And honestly, many of them thought, you know, were skeptical. Honestly, they were skeptical that I would be back to my normal state anytime soon. Now, check this out. Not only did I get back to my normal state, basically, but I was only in the hospital for 8 days. Eight. Not, you know, not 2 weeks, not 2 months, not 3 months, 8 days. And the funny thing is, a lot of people are familiar with cardiac arrest because different athletes have been in the news, whether it be Damar Hamlin or Bronny James. But it's ironic that, you know, the first words that I said when I woke up from being sedated and everything was, did we win? Because I was so concerned that we won the tug of war and how my kids were that I was like, hey, do we win? And of course, you know, and it was like, yeah, you won, you won. But I think in that moment, no one really thought that was really important, except for me. but I was only in the hospital for 8 days, and I returned back to work in about 18 days. So all glory belongs to God for this, because it is only by his grace and only by him that I'm able to get back to where I was. And so later did I know, I was finally diagnosed with a rare genetic heart disorder called ARVC. And for those of you guys who don't know, ARVC stands for arrhythmogenic right ventricular cardiomyopathy. Now, ARVC, or arrhythmogenic right ventricular cardiomyopathy, is a rare but serious heart condition. And it's kind of characterized, and I don't want to go too much into the medical because I don't even know everything. But basically, the way it is that my heart, some tissues around my heart are replaced with kind of fatty tissue, specifically kind of in the right ventricular. And it's kind of associated, honestly, with increased risk of arrhythmias, you know, any type of cardiac arrest, just things like that. And so, and as you can maybe tell, the survival rates for those things are very, 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 very low, honestly. Most people, or many people that have that condition, honestly, never know they actually have it, because it's like a sudden killer. You know, by the time they realize they have it, it's too late. And so those who are talking about it, you know, are part of a very, very select group of people who are able to survive this genetic disorder. Now, the life expectancy, all these different things can vary from person to person, quality of life, you know, all these different things. But, you know, I just want to focus on the fact that it is a very, very rare genetic heart disorder. But that's the thing about it, is that it makes me so happy, honestly, is that because it is rare and because I'm part of the 2% or so that really survived this thing and you know, thrived to an extent, you know, I'm extremely blessed. And I give all honor and glory to God, because he's the one that brought me through this. You know, the doctors did their thing, right? And eventually I had to get an ICD implanted in me. That's something that I felt good about. You know, at the time it didn't, because I didn't really, I'm not a surgery person, so to speak. I don't know anybody who is, but, you know, I ended up getting it, especially after our daughter was born. Because the last thing I wanted to happen is some type of, you know, recurrence or whatever happened when it's just me and her. And so that was a big thing for me. So I ended up getting the ICD, or the implantable cardioverter defibrillator. And, you know, it does help me, you know, if I'm in a situation where I need that help. But really, though, I do want to kind of think about, I have you guys think about really what can you do? What can you do to maybe prevent this, or maybe even save someone's life? So I'm going to kind of briefly kind of go over a few things, you know, a few tips that can help you be prepared in that case with an emergency. First of all, number one, get CPR and AED certified. I mean, if you're not already certified, take the steps to become certified, because it literally can and does save people's lives, because you may not have an AED around. It may just be you and another person. If you are CPR certified, you can be the difference between someone living and dying. It is just that simple. So the knowledge, everything you need to have, go get it. I know for some people it does cost a lot. You know, sometimes it's 25, sometimes it's 50, maybe $100. I know if you are on certain teams or work for certain organizations, it is free. So just kind of check with that. But please, please, everyone get CPR and AED certified. The second thing, honestly, is encourage others to get certified too. So it's not just about you. You know, you don't have to be the hero of everyone, but really encourage the family, you know, and especially if you all are doing it together, sometimes it's helpful, you know, to be walking through a journey like this or a training like this with someone that you know, because it kind of keeps you honest, keeps them honest, and you really tend to kind of focus and pick up more information when you have someone there, right? That's number two. Number three, check your AED awareness. So take a look around your workplace, your school, community center, anything, anywhere you are, even when you go out to a restaurant or whatever, check to see if they have AEDs. And, you know, check to see if they're available. And if not, honestly, consider advocating for one. Consider advocating for one, you know, at your school, your workplace, because, again, these things, they save lives. And lastly, number four, just stay informed. Keep up with the latest advancements in CPR and AEDs. And a lot of AEDs now, they are really, really user-friendly. They kind of tell you, they tell you, hey, this is what you do. This is where you place the paddle, you know, step back, all these different things. Now, one thing I did learn, especially for the newer ones as well, the newer AEDs, is they will tell you if a person is eligible, or I guess it was, or just really, you know, needing a shock. Because some people are like, well, I don't want to touch it. You know, some people may, I don't want to shock anybody that doesn't need it. A lot of the new AEDs now will tell you this person doesn't need a shock. Their heart is fine, so to speak. So, you know, you don't have to worry about things like that. So again, number one, get certified, you know, CPR, AED certified. Number two, encourage others to get certified. Number three, check your AED awareness, check to see if there's any AED around. And also number four, just stay informed. Just stay informed on what you're to do in emergencies like this. Now, remember, your actions can have a profound effect on the lives of those around you. Being prepared to respond to a sudden cardiac arrest can and does save a life. We thank you for being part of our podcast community. And honestly, we hope that this episode has inspired you really to take crucial steps to become CPR and AED certified. But also, honestly, stay prayed up. Stay prayed up, because you never know when there may be a person around you, maybe a family member, a teammate, a friend, a coworker, somebody that may need you and need the training that you have to save their life. I mean, life comes fast. And if you aren't prepared spiritually and with knowledge, then honestly, we're not prepared at all. Now, as always, we appreciate all of you for being part of our Igniting You movement. Your presence is a blessing to us, and we look forward to sharing more stories about our faith in the future episodes. So make sure you hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform, wherever you are listening to us, so that way you can be notified of new episodes releasing. Also, if you need support for your journey, if you need coaching, please visit our website at www.ignitingyou.org. Now, I want to leave you with a word that I got from God about this. Now, if you've been with us for a few episodes, you may remember that we talked about our homeless journey. You know, for those of you guys who haven't been around, my wife and I were homeless for 3.5 years. And, you know, on top of being homeless, you know, that in itself is a very traumatic event. But on top of that, God allowed me to have this genetic heart defect that almost took my life. Now, there are many reasons for me to develop bitterness and anger towards God, and honestly, even towards just life in itself. And many of you, honestly, that are listening may be experiencing this right now. You've been through one fire after another, not knowing when the pain will stop. You may feel like you're at your end of the rope and can't go any further. But what separates those who are burned in the fire from those who are purified is being grounded spiritually. To see those walking in the spirit see things differently. Being grounded allows you to understand that life isn't all about what happens to you, but how you can mature from difficult experiences and how you can help others grow from their own individual ordeals. You see, God will allow certain terrible things in your life to happen so he can have an opportunity to reveal himself to you. However, sometimes, honestly, we don't realize it. and we turn away from God instead of turning to God. Now, what I want you to understand is that God allows all these challenges in life to happen to us, not to harm us, but to help us see who He really is, for Him to get an opportunity to reveal to you His true nature, and for you to understand that life is more than what you see. See, I've gone through my ordeal because I understand God has more in store for me, and it requires my testimony to help others overcome their troubles, much like I overcame mine. See, God wants you to experience life to the full, and sometimes that means going through dark, dark times. But remember, those times are not designed to destroy you. Those times are designed to bring you ultimately to the person that He wants you to be, and that's more like Him. Living life that pleases God is worth more than whatever momentary distress that we face. So in saying that, I just want to close this out in prayer. Father God, I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for this platform. I thank You, Lord, for all the listeners who are listening to this podcast right now. Father God, I understand, Lord, that You put me through this ordeal, not to harm me, but to help me. Father God, You allowed a rare genetic disease to come and almost take my life, but it allowed, Lord, me, my wife, my family, all of our faith to grow. And that's ultimately what You want, is for us to have faith in You and for that faith to grow. Well, I understand too that faith can't grow unless it's being tested. And this was a tremendous test that I believe that most of us in our circle just really grasped and passed with flying colors. And I pray, Lord God, that everyone under the sound of my voice will not just face their challenges, but overcome them by Your power and Your authority and Your will. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for the examples that You have set for us, Lord, in the Word that help us, Lord, to navigate these difficult challenges. Lord, when you look at the Word, you see all these different people, Lord, and the reason why they're in the Word is because they were challenged in some way, but ultimately they had faith in You to bring them through their challenges, and for that, they are heroes. And so Lord, I pray, Lord God, for all the heroes out there that have faith in You, that You will bless them, Lord, in their challenges and bring them into more of a fullness of You. We thank You, Lord God, for everything You've done. We thank You, Lord God, for everything You continue to do for us. And it is in Your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now, thank you all for spending time with me. Until next time, take care, stay informed, and be ready to make life-saving difference in the world. Thank you, and God bless.